You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
The scripture reading will be in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. So grateful for this privilege that once again we can come aside from the ordinary things of life and for these few minutes to be energized of the Spirit in such a way that our heart and our mind will know it's been good to be here. At the same time, recognizing afresh our constant need, we thank you that He does walk with us, and when we feel despondent, He not only walks with us, but He carries us through, so that the circumstances of life call to our mind that He is the God of circumstance, and He's faithful. Thus we pray for your cleansing now afresh, and we thank you that that does go on. And we can look up, regardless of whatever the circumstances may be, and know that from a human point of view, the worst thing that could happen would be to die, which would be promotion. So either way, we thank you, Lord, for this grace that makes these things possible. Would you be pleased now to rebuke the evil one, that he hinder not in the teaching, and your great Son will be honored in it, your people be built up in the most holy faith. And if perchance there's somebody here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, you have provided us one in him that will last through the ages. Bless now our efforts here this morning as you manifest your great Son in the words. These for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we thank you. Amen. This shows the judgment that fell on the Adamic creation. One thing you'll note in all these teachings, that every administration of God ends in outward failure. But that's only to let us realize that God has something better than what you thought he had. And thank God that we have reached that dispensation in time where we have been exalted to the place where Christ is himself. I don't think that we can appreciate that, but that's what our calling is. At this point in time, there's another thing that this lesson today will enlighten us a lot about. This judgment now that's about to fall on mankind after 1656 years, God is now going to wipe away the human race, and that sure looks like a failure on God's part. But it's not. It emphasizes something, the next one a little bit higher and a little bit higher all the way up, so that they can be comforted. And there was a man and his family named Noah in this time of darkness. It says he was a just man and perfect in his generation. And he was justified before God. And perfect is the idea of being right in what he did. He wasn't a perfect man without sin, but he did do the right thing. Now, it tells us in the preceding verses of our lesson, as men begin to multiply and have children, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. Now, the sons of God in the Old Testament is easy to discern. They always have reference to angels. This is the only passage that doesn't spell out what they are. But the fact of the term sons of God tells us they are under the headship of Christ, because the headship of Christ is God, and the headship of man is Christ. So that every time you see the term sons of God, it speaks of a direct creation in recognition of the headship of God the Father. Remember, these roles were worked out as we saw earlier, before the overthrow of the cosmos. In the Old Testament, when you, the reason why angels are referred to as sons of God is because they are a direct creation. Adam is the only man in the Old Testament that was a son of God. He was a direct creation. All the rest of us are a result of procreation coming through another agency. Now the angels are a direct creation. They were not born. And when you come to the New Testament, everyone generated of the Spirit of God is called a son of God. But no Adamic creation is ever called a son of God except with Adam. And the reason he's called that is because he was a direct creation. Now that's very important today, because there is among Christian people, but especially the world thinks that they are the children of God. That's why this false teaching, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of men. They're only brothers in Adam, and they're not sons of God. They're not children of God. God, only the animal world had its beginning in a direct creation. They're not called sons of God because they don't belong to the human family or to anything above the animal world. God did not create, when he created animals, he did not create sons. Some of you act like that sometime, but he didn't. You happen to fall in the other category, so no fault of your own. So that there is no such thing as the fatherhood of God or the children of the sons of God apart from a direct creation. And the theology that teaches otherwise, you see, is a trap. That's why they say, God, if he loves us, he wouldn't do any of these horrible things said in the Bible. Only the direct creation of God will ever stand before God as a child. The animal world did not do it. They didn't do anything wrong. They felt an innocent. They were never children of God. They were created beings of God, but they were never children. So when you hear people talk about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of men, only the man that's been born of the Spirit can say that. The world can't say that. So that these sons of God here, they're called several things. In the verse 4, they're referred to as giants. That does not necessarily mean giants in stature. It can include that. But they were giants in their understanding. They were geniuses. And the East still gives evidence to that fact. If you've ever been to Egypt and seen the Great Pyramid, it's been standing there for over 4,000 years, around 4,000 years. And the mathematics that built that is still perfect. Nothing is out of kilter. Can you imagine a building built on sand that has not sunk 1/100th of an inch in all these years? You talk about a genius. Now it tells us that there were giants. Might say that this preaching went on, it seems to, for 120 years before the flood. And before that, Enoch warned as a prophet. The problem started with the birth of Enos. Go back to chapter 5. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. The day that God created a man in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. Blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day that they were created, see, that's Adam and Eve. They are the sons of God. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth. Notice, not after the image of God, but after the image of Seth. This is the fallen stage, you see. And the days of Adam after he begat Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Now, Enos means weakness, the decay of human life. Notice, it says about him in chapter 4, the last verse, Enos, then began Enos to call upon the name of the Lord. That's unfortunate, because it really says they began to call himself by the name of the Lord. And here's the first profane after the creation of Seth through Adam and Eve. The very first son's son began the long line of apostasy by identifying themselves with God, and they had no such relationship. You see, there has to be a direct creation before you can ever become a part of the family of God. They were not. They were from the family of Seth. See, not from God. And no one of us are born that same way. This is why we're referred to over and over again that we have died with Christ. The old Adamic man is dead. You wouldn't think so, the way he acts. But you see, the word death means a separation. It does not mean cessation. When you talk of death, that's the word is used. Now, if you're talking about a corpse that's dead, that's another word. That's necros. But thanatos simply means a separation. If you're dead spiritually, you're separated from God. If you're dead physically, you're separated from your body. And you become a necros, a corpse. And so, this chapter has many lessons to teach us that the second generation from Adam after the new generation that they gave him in Seth, the apostasy had already begun. The leaven began right at that time. And by the time of our lesson in chapter 6, which leads to the flood, is 1656 years. God's patience waited that long before judgment fell. And it had reached the place where it says in verse 5, the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. And not only was there evil there, but it says, verse 11, that the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, all it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way before the earth. Now, the righteousness that Noah produced, when it says in verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and verse 9, where he walked with God, is that he did not enter in to this intermarriage between the angelical world and the rest of them. Can you imagine that? Only one man, one man's family, let me put it that way, was not guilty of this sin. Now you can see this is Satan's first great attempt to destroy the human race, and it looks as if that he was going to be successful. Because you see, if Noah and Noah had died and his family too, there would be no human race. It would be a people that's dehumanized. They'd be neither fish nor fowl. That's why there is no salvation for those who died prior to the flood, because they're just like the fallen angels. And they're under the same judgment. See, hell was not made for man. You'll find it in Matthew 25 it is, I'm sorry. Hell was made for Satan and his fallen angels. Man goes there by choice, not because it was made for him. It wasn't. God sends no man to hell. Man goes there because he chooses that way. And so these people all died, neither fish nor fowl. They were a mixture of the direct creation of God, which was angels at that time, and with the human race. And you'll notice no human being is ever called a son of God in the Old Testament. It's only when you come to the New Testament and men, through receiving Christ as their personal Savior, who died as far as the Adamic race is concerned before God and are alive in Christ, they are a direct creation. In other words, the Adamic man that you are, that you're walking around this body of death, is not the person that's going to occupy eternity. Notice, if you have, since you have died with Christ, identified completely, past tense, not future, set your affection on things above, where in Christ we are all of God, out of Him. That's the little word ek, out of. The first man that fell out this side of Adam is out of that wicked one. Turn to 1 John. This is one of the great mysteries of the Bible. But if you go to 1 John chapter 3, you see that Cain was out of that wicked one. 1 John 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of, that word of there, is a little preposition, ek, out of, who? The wicked one. Now his brother was not out of Cain, and not out of evil one. He slew, again, that you see, there's certain Satan's first attempt to destroy the seed of the woman. See, just prior to that, you remember, when God brought the covenant with Adam into his hands, first thing he did was to speak to Satan that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. Now, Satan believed that, and so he acted accordingly. He didn't know when that would happen, but the first two boys that they had born were Cain and Abel. And Cain slew Abel. And Cain was disbanded as a vagabond, cut off, separated. He wasn't killed, he was separated. And so the possibility of a seed of the woman crushing the serpent's head seemed unlikely. It wasn't until 130 years later that God gave Adam another seed in Seth. And then men began to multiply and reproduce. So, again, this lesson of the giants, they're called, and this word giants is the Hebrew word Nephilim. It means the fallen ones. And through those marriages, there were mighty men before the flood, and notice verse 4 and after that. Now what happened to those men, to those who fell before the flood? There were angels who cooperated in this. We know where they are. They're in a place called Tartarus, translated hell, in Peter's writing. The people that cooperate in this, they'll never be. They're gone. They're nothing. The angel is still an angel, even though he be fallen. See? He awaits his day of judgment. In fact, the matter is, our Lord on his body in the grave, he went to Tartarus, and he preached to the fallen angels. The word preach there is not preaching like Evangelios. You don't have a good message. It's a proclamation. You see, until Christ died on the tree, these fallen ones, who are called the giants, had hope that Satan would rescue them. But you remember when he rose from the grave, Colossians tells us, our Lord made a show openly all against all these principalities and powers. So they have no hope. The sentence is already passed. The only way today of execution, they're on death row. And so these giants became what happened before the flood. We don't know too much about that. Now, it's possible, some people have speculated, that these so-called airfields down in, I believe it's in Peru, some 5,000 feet up in the mountains, some of them are just a plateau, flat. And it's a rock top. But above, you can take pictures of it, and you probably have seen it. I don't know if you have or not. I did on television. And they were mammoth airfields is what they were. And the tracks, or the marks, are still in the rock there where how they landed and how they took off. Now, it's possible that these people had advanced to that stage. I don't know. But in any case, after the flood, notice they're still in existence. Notice there were the Nephilim in the earth in those days, that's before the flood, and also after that, when the sons of God came in, the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same were mighty men which are of old, men of renown. Most of you know that 2 years ago, Charlie Johnson and I flew to Greece and then to Turkey. We rented a car, just the two of us, and hired a local man to go with us. And when we were at Thessalonica, the hotel we stayed in, the owner of it, when we checked in, he came over and began to talk to us. We didn't even get to our room. We stayed with him we checked in about 6 o'clock, and he stayed with us at midnight. He had been the connection between the American Army, he was an ISON man, and the Germans occupied Greece, you remember? World War II. He was the connection in Greece for the American Army. He lived in Thessalonica. He had this big hotel. And he claimed to be a direct descendant from Alexander the Great, and his name was Alexander, all right. Whether that was true or not, I don't know. But anyhow, he claimed that. See, Pila, which was the capital where Philip, Alexander's father, reigned, is only about 20 to 25 miles from Thessalonica. So it is possible that he was telling the truth. I don't know. But anyhow, while we were there in that hotel, we were only there 2 days and two nights, but anyway, he'd taken us over to a Jewish synagogue, the only one in Thessalonica today. And Thessalonica is a city of, about 1.5 million people. And we're coming back from synagogue, and he wanted to take us over and show us his church. He was a Russian Orthodox, or Greek Orthodox, I'm sorry. Same difference. Anyway, when we got there, the church was closed. It was some special day that all our priests were gone. The church was all locked up. He was very disappointed. We were coming back. We began to question him about some of these tales, these old myths, you know. And something was mentioned about Zeus. All he said, yes, he was a womanizer. He's got children all over Greece. I didn't even dream that he was considered that. But that was just common knowledge. When you see the rest of the places, well, for instance, if one place you want to go if you ever go to Greater Adelphia, this was a place where all the whole world came. If they were going to go to war, have a battle or anything, they would come and send representatives to Adelphia. And these priests, they're women. That's an interesting tale how they become priests, but that's too long to get into. But anyway, they would come there, and these priests would deliver them the oracles of God. So when the battle was over, and it had come true that what the priests had said, they'd won the battle, whatever it was, they'd come back to Delphia and build a big shrine, a memorial of God's faithfulness to them. You remember the lady that followed Paul in the book of Acts? These men are the men of God. She was a priestess from Delphia. And the word python is what they really are. They're python spirits. That's the name of it. Well, anyway, that's I'm getting off story. But I just want you to see that these men of renown did do things. For instance, in Rhodes. Out of Rhodes, you come into the harbor there. There's two little islands that, oh, I guess 500 feet or so apart. They built a man there out of solid copper, 300 feet high, so that the ships coming in could come right in between his legs. Now tell me, how in the world did they ever cast a copper man? Where did they get the mold to do it in the first place? It fell in an earthquake not too many centuries back, and all the roads, you find that copper on top of their roofs and everything else. If you go to at Ephesus, Herodias, called the father of history, lived about 500 BC. He said that the temple Diana was the he was a historian. He traveled all over the world. He visited all seven wonders of the world at that time. He said that the temple of Diana was the top, it was one of the seven wonders, was the most perfect architect that the world has ever seen. And today, of course, a very similar architect is in Greece, in Athens itself, called the Parthenon, yeah. And the architects still go there to see that wonder. Herodias said that the Temple of Diana makes all these other things nothing. Just a big hole there with one column sticking up out of a little lake now. But in any case, the Great Pyramid, if you've ever been there and realize, as I mentioned before, here's a building that's almost 4,000 years old, built on sand. And the heaviest building in the world, covering 13 acres. And that building has not sunk 1/100th of an inch in 4,000 years. Can you imagine us building a building like that? No wonder these are called mighty men. The stories about Hercules and Atlas. And these things are all, this is the type of people they were. They weren't just big men, they were that too. Not all of them were that big. But they were mighty in their intellect. They knew things that we don't know about. Well, so much for bragging on them. But anyway, that led to only, notice, evil continually. It was a constant thing. And only one man out of all that mess. And somebody has figured, I'm not a calculator or statistician, but they claim that if in that 1,656 years, with people living to such ripe old ages, their families must have been, you notice it says, the name's the key figure that's going to carry the lineage on, but it says they were born into them sons and daughters. So that if you figure just the key ones that are mentioned here. Those who figure these things out, the time of the flood, the human race was just about what it is right now. Think about that. That's hard to understand. I'm not a mathematician, so I don't know if that's true or not, but that's figuring it out. Anyway, you see, had Satan, his first attempt to destroy the seed of the woman was through the slaying of Cain, Abel. Now his second attempt, you see, is really broad. Had he been able to dehumanize the race completely, there would be no thing like we have. That would have to begin with an absolute new creation. So from one man now, mind you, and his three sons, the human race now is what it is. With Adam, he only had one to start with. With Noah, they had four. Notice also another fact that's interesting. Here's that 120 years before the flood, it had become a knowledge that God would no longer strive with the human race. Now, Adam died when he was 930 years. And he's the first man to die by natural causes. Anybody that died before Adam was killed by accident or murder, one way or the other, but no natural death. Not only so, but you can readily see why these people laughed and they said to build a boat. Because it had never rained. Beginning with Enoch, who's really the man who started the prophecies, they had never seen rain. The earth, remember, we saw before the fall that, and after that, earth were watered by a mist right out of the ground, but no rain. They never seen it. Can you imagine the hooting and hollering that went on when Noah and his three sons began to build this boat? Incidentally, the size of that ship was approximately the same thing as the Queen Mary. The cubic feet in the inside of it, again, people who do this sort of figuring, I don't know whether it's true or not, is tantamount to the same thing as 1,000 of our boxcars. That holds a lot of material. And so you can see, this of course is the climax in the setting aside of the Adamic covenant. Because God has just said, I wash my hands of this. I'm going to destroy the one layer. This is Satan's second big attempt. And you'll see that as we go through these covenants, now on every Sunday, every one of these covenants ends in a catastrophe. And you know, that tells you something about now, don't it? God has something better for the human race, though. And for the first time, since God ruled in the Garden of Eden, God will begin to rule on this planet again personally, under the government of God. It doesn't affect us too much because ours is far above that, but as far as the earth is concerned, this will begin to restore paradise. Milton, yes, this will become a reality. And the beautiful thing about it, we live now in a time where we can set and see the first inklings of that coming into be reality. Because as it was then, so it is now. The whole earth was nothing but evil continually. Let me remind you again, the wonderful start this nation had. Today, in the Declaration of Independence, which expresses to us the mind of those people, it tells us that governments were to secure three things: life, liberty, and property, or pursuit of happiness. And these three rights come from the Creator, not from government. The government's instituted to secure these three rights. Now, we do everything but secure those things. First off, life. The Supreme Court has ignored the fact that government's purpose is to secure life. Now, whether you want to argue about the child being a human being at conception, you don't even have to argue from that point of view. And it shows that the argument is two arguments between two lawyers, and I wouldn't trust. I hope nobody's a lawyer here. But let me show you. If there's life, if life begins at conception, it doesn't say what kind of life, just a life. And if it don't begin there, I don't know where it does begin. See, the purpose of government is to secure what? Life. And according to statistics, over 1.5 million babies are killed legally in the government that proclaimed that that was a right from God. It wasn't a civil right, it was a right from God. You see, beloved, civil rights is like dry water. There isn't any such thing in our form of government. There cannot be. Every right we have is a right from God. We don't have any other right. Life, liberty. And liberty starts right here. You can go in and do anything you want to as long as you don't get on that. That's where it stops. And the government secures to secure me for that way. See? Lord, I'm coming over your house and I'm going to blow your brains out. See? And you call the government and say, look, there's a fella coming over here. He's going to bother my nose. All right, we'll be right there. You think that happened today? And property. We don't have any property rights. You think you own your home? The mortgage company owned it. You may be an exception to the rule, but I don't know many that are. Anyhow, you go right on down the line. And that's what purpose of government is. And what's the thought today? Well, first off, murder is all right. And these people on death row prove that. We haven't killed anybody in Oklahoma down there at the penitentiary. I don't know how many years it's been with all them people on death row. And that's the very foundation of human government. If a man sheds a man's blood, his blood should be shed by man, but it's through the state. That's what the state was intended for. Let's see how far our thinking has gone. They do not secure your right for life, which was given to you from God. That's plain to them. They do not protect your liberty. In fact, they discriminate when they make everybody, how I want to sell my house and who I want to sell it to is my business, not the government's. They license everything in the world in order to have a monopoly. They got a monopoly. And it's against the law to have a monopoly in this country. And the people who are the role model for our children are the whores and the whoremongers of America. And that's a lot of people. See? I recognize they've always been these things, but they haven't been honored for doing it. And the sodomites especially. They're getting the front page news. And somebody, I hate to say this, but somebody said this, Falwell's revenge. I think that's kind of dirty. What to call it. Falwell had nothing to do with it. I'm not taking up for Falwell either, but I think that's terrible. When, you make a joke out of something as serious as that. And that's having your right to do your thing, you know. That's not liberty. The only liberty you have is responsibility. Any time that you...
His name is wonderful, Jesus. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.